Good morning, everybody. Today is Friday, July 29th, 2016. And this is Before the First Cup with Jules here on UCY.TV. Happy Friday, everyone. It is 65 degrees and very foggy here in upstate New York. Said we're going to have some mega rain this weekend. I saw at one point someone saying 2 inches for the East Coast, or at least the Northeast. So that should be interesting. We sure need it. So where do we leave off yesterday? We titled the show, New Life Form Found in Spit, Synthetic Protein, and Cockroach Milk. Yeah, we did talk about all those things. Kind of bizarro that they just found this brand new life form never foreseen in the saliva in our mouth. It's a bacteria that lives on top of a bacteria, and we never thought to look for anything like that before. We were finding errant RNA, they said, in different samples. The one that discovered it was the University of Washington Dentistry School, but there had been other labs before that they had said had found it and said they didn't know where it came from. But we were pointing out how interesting it is that this day and age in the 21st century made science gone mad from every corner of the planet, and they're just discovering, quote-unquote, with a big wink next to it, brand new life forms in our mouths as we're eating, breathing, and ingesting things that they let out of the genie bottle a long time ago into the environment for this big science experiment we call Earth. So I don't know about that. You know, what are the chances we have all these first ever, never before seen? Probably, I would say, a good 100, 200, 300 times in the last few years. It's just an amazing time to be alive, isn't it? Maybe we should play the lottery. One of the other things we looked at is pathogens. Shape-shifting immune systems that are in the works, microbiome, and some of the ways that bacteria can control your living form. I mean, we've discovered that we're actually more bacteria than we are human cells as a living organism, and that by figuring out how that microbiome works and those five different colonies of bacteria that live on our bodies and how they can manipulate them and use them to their advantage, use them to quote-unquote cure us from the big C cancer, of course, is the biggest dangling carrot that's going to get people to step right up and become part of the White House cohort program to give yourself free to the machine. So they don't have to pay for research and development on their new mad science, right? We got back just 6 months ago, we were reading stories about the ethical issues with experimenting on humans, and that was not allowed. That was absolutely not allowed. It was always experimentation on animals. And then they would put some of their new mad science medicine into the Strategic National Stockpile that was made available through Project BioShield, inked by George Bush, in the case of an emergency. And remember the quote-unquote pandemic we had back a few years ago for bird flu, I believe it was. Maybe it was bird swine, dog flu. Never before seen that showed up, and we had to all get our shots because, oh my God, it was spreading so bad, and they stopped keeping track of it even. And then it was such an emergency that Obama declared, because we didn't have enough vaccine, he said, that they opened the doors to the European version, which, of course, contained squalene. Squalene was not allowed in this country at that time, but in the case of an emergency, we were able to allow mad science to come in to the United States and be applied to the American people. But then we had the Ebola epidemic, and we had measles, and oh my God, little Johnny's Disney vacation was ruined. And because of that, we pitted mother against mother, because your little Johnny is now a contagion. He is a typhoid Mary if he is not vaccinated. But see, this is all a mind game. This is a mind game. Teaching, making people believe that the narrative that they're applying to this mad science, that by getting this injection, it's going to provide you some sort of protection, but Johnny not getting his injection is going to be a threat to you. See, they're pitting us against each other, the modified versus the unmodified, and that's pretty much where we took the gist of the show yesterday looking at especially this new DARPA project that's rolled out now to some universities in PennU and China and all these different places now are starting to mess around with CRISPRing humans. There are no long-term generational studies that are being done on any of this technology, not just CRISPRing humans. We're talking genetically modifying food and their effect 100 generations down the line to make certain that that isn't somehow making an arm grow out of the back of my future grandchild's head. I mean, how can they put this stuff on the market? Of course, tell us it's okay. We just saw a big report from all these paid chill scientists saying how wonderful GMOs were. Not only did they not have any type of effects that they could see in the literature on our health, but also on the environment and how wonderful it is. Well, you know, here's the one thing that I call bullshit on that report. Regardless of whatever studies do or don't exist in regards to generational effects of genetically modified organisms on human beings and the environment, the one thing you have to pay attention to, we mentioned Dr. Huber yesterday in regards to the new life form. Remember, he had talked about finding a new life form in the soil as well, and he wasn't quite sure what it was. But when they use something like Roundup Ready corn, let's say, you know, the big deal about splicing and dicing genes into foods that then can be sprayed top to bottom with herbicide was that it saved the farmer from having to be careful about hitting his crops, right? Because you'd spray herbicide and it would kill your corn as well as the weeds. So you'd have to be very careful. So by making Roundup Ready corn, they splice genes that would allow the corn to be, immune to the effects of Roundup. I don't know really what that entails. I mean, as far as what genes were put in there or what switches they flipped. But there's definitely a genetic modification. But let's get beyond that. Nope, let's pretend that we know for 100% that that isn't going to cause any future issues. But here's the thing. How can these scientists say that this has no effect on anything and they're so wonderful when you now are spraying 100 times the glyphosate from what you'd used before? Before, you would only squirt it around the outsides of the fields. Now you're just coating the entire field. And all that glyphosate is running into the water system. They're finding it in breast milk. They're finding it in rainwater. It is the most widely used pesticide on the entire planet Earth, except that there's all this disturbing research that has come out of many different places now in regards to long-term damage glyphosate causes to humans, especially that cascade of diseases, the Western, quote-unquote, Western diseases of obesity, diabetes, metabolic syndrome, and all kinds of other issues. So not only are the video games creating dopamine-addicted psychopathic children in the future, but we have this glyphosate that's being sold, sprayed on anything that isn't marked non-GMO, I mean, potentially, or non-organic, let's say. Let's say organic. Organic would be a better term because it not necessarily has to be GMO to have glyphosate on it. But organic cannot, at least on paper. So let's just call it organic. We got a good, I would have to say, if I had to pull a number out of a hat somewhere, I would have to say probably 25% maybe, and that would be being very optimistic. 25%, let's for argument's sake, 25% of the United States is aware enough of problems ingesting pesticides and ergo potentially ingesting GMO foods. 25% maybe are doing organic, though the number grows and grows. But I would have to say probably 75%, and cost being a big issue. Like, I've heard this so many times as to why people don't feed their kids healthy food or try to do the research and pay attention to what they're putting into their kids' mouths. It's hard, remember. The attention span of an adult American is 5 seconds now, or 8 seconds, maybe, and that of a goldfish. So it's hard. You know, listening to my show makes the majority of Americans' brains hurt. I would have to guarantee you that. But I would have to say 75% because of a number one reason, cost. Don't take care and concern into what they're feeding into their children and all of these things. These chemicals going into our system, these genetically modified organisms with no long-term studies generationally down the line, also going into their mouths, in vaccines with recombinant proteins, SV40 viruses out of infected monkeys, cancer, you know, blood diseases, Alzheimer's, prions, that could potentially be passed down, bovine leukemia virus. That's the one that I was talking about the other day that they've known about for 30 or 40 years in the milk supply. And they let it go because they said it would never infect humans. And now they're finding it in human breast cancer. All this stuff is affecting your biological makeup. And as your biological makeup gets polluted, you become more and more pliable by the machine. And, you know, I'd love to say that all this is by accident, but I hate to say it. If that were the case, we would be some of the luckiest people on the planet. I don't think so. I think this is all absolutely by design. So where are we going to continue here? So we were looking at things pretty messed up at the end of the show, designer proteins and being able to completely remake the world that we live in the very near future, to be able to completely manipulate biology and reality by making and folding new proteins, creating new medicines and materials to supplant the world that we have today. We saw this really, really disturbing story a few days ago about Oxitec talking about remaking the world in our own image. Oxitec with the genetically modified mosquitoes being released into the environment, all in the name of diseases that are taking over because of climate change. You know, I was sorting Pigmind playlists the other night, and one of the stories I saw literally from just 2 weeks ago was that in Florida, they now think that they found the first time ever case of Zika that was homegrown Zika from a mosquito. But it was the first case, guys. It was literally 2 weeks ago, guys. So already a few months ago, May and June, we had found that Congress had passed a bill giving appropriations of $1 billion to fight the Zika emergency here in the United States. But we've had one, count them, one, like that one fruit bat tree that they found the Ebola bat. That one monkey that they found HIV started in. Yes, well, they have the one case. Oh, yes, and that one connection. One baby where they could trace microencephaly to the Zika virus. Yes, but it proves it all. They now have one case. Now maybe there's more, but 2 weeks ago there was one case of someone getting Zika on U.S. homeland soil. Well, you know what? All stops out because they've been to Congress. Oxitec has successfully convinced them to spend the money. They are now pushing in the Florida Keys. So Florida was a great place to get that first case of Zika now, wasn't it? To justify letting them go and to scare the population into submission. Well, Cayman Islands happens to be one place that they scared them into submission a long time ago and convinced them that this was the ecological way, right? No more pesticides. Nope. Pesticides are bad. Bad. So let's release a genetic modification in an insect that we can push out through the entire population using a new tool that uses CRISPR technology called gene drives. Let's us take a genetic modification for, in this case, population suppression or population elimination, our choice, and spread it through an entire species. If we wanted to, we were powerful enough so we could wipe them off the face of the planet. And we brought up the argument the other day. First of all, why would we not, if we're so worried about pesticides and damaging the environment, why are we looking at some insanity that we've only done, like, cursory tests and, you know, tell me all day. I read some of their Oxitec internal documents of all the experiments and how they kind of worked out in the lab with these mosquitoes. And I'm going to tell you, it was still done in a vacuum as compared to letting the genie out of the bottle. I mean, they discovered very quickly using tetracycline as the off switch for these beasties didn't quite work out so well, because tetracycline happens to be very prevalent in the environment through livestock and runoff. So, bullshit, I say. There is no off switch. And, you know, you have to be very cognizant, because even though there might be a 0.0000000001 chance that you might get some freaking mutation that could potentially, if the conditions just happen to be right, cause some insanity like monster mosquito sucking the blood of cities up here, you have to worry about that. Kind of like, you know, the 0.00001 chance that the Large Hadron Collider might open up a time warp or might open up lots of little mini black holes. Yeah, well, you know, that could happen, say scientists, but the chances are so small. You know, I always say somebody always wins the lottery eventually. And if you look at the back of that lottery card, it's about what your chances are to winning that lottery, but somebody always eventually wins. You know, spin that wheel of other chance and see where it lands, guys. Our number could be up someday. And the more mad science you let go, the more the chances are that one day that pony's going to come in and we are going to have Megalotron. Half electronic, half organic, monster mutant, robot, AI, thinking, skin job that comes to your house to take your guns and give you an injection via drone. I mean, it's just to the point of beyond comprehension, I think, for me. Sometimes when I start going through these stories, I just had to stop. I've had to turn it off, because the implications and the dotted lines and the black Sharpies all go into that one point called complete and utter destruction of biology 1.0 is becoming very apparent to me. And the sad fact of the matter for me is, for despite any of the preps that you've made in the last 16, 18 years, for any of you out there like me who are aware of the Y2K potential to be catastrophic, you know, people think that was a big bust. I think it was a good sales opportunity for my industry, my former industry. We all had money flying out of the sky back in those days. Good old Billy Clinton's tenure in office. But there were lots of issues. I mean, the reason why we didn't have something catastrophic happen potentially could have been that most of that equipment did get replaced. But, you know, back from those days, we started thinking about the potential of being wiped off the face of the planet accidentally, wink, or intentionally. Maybe that was like the kill switch, if need be. But we prepped for a lot of things. People bought silver, people bought food, people bought ammo, people bought guns, people bought bunkers, people did all kinds of things. And we're faced with an enemy now that no matter what you did, no matter what you prepped for, earthquakes, asteroids, you know, think about what's going on right now under the covers. Think about synthetic biology. Think about nanotechnology and desktop manufacturing. Think about artificial intelligence and supercomputing, deep learning, transhumanism, man merging with machine. Think about Google and DARPA. Please tell me if I'm missing something that we might have thought about in the last 20 years and had some contingency plans for on how to defeat. Am I missing something? Do we have something that we could use to win now? Because I don't see... Remember I told you guys that that bag was closing? That bag was closing. And that net was dropped on top of us. I think the bag is closed. We are an ecosphere. Just like, you know, they used to sell. I haven't seen one in a long time. They're pretty expensive. Those little self-contained glass globes that had an entire ecosystem in it. Typically a water and maybe some, an air plant or maybe a little water lily or something growing in there. And there was like a little log. Maybe some algae. I don't know. So you had a full-blown little ecosystem inside this sealed sphere. That's what we are right now. They've put space weapons into place a long time ago, I'm sure, but, you know, they've been sending all these satellites up, and I'm certain with these new lasers that they're putting up there that they have access to everything, everywhere on the planet right now. You know, we talked about Facebook releasing their new drones, internet drones. They got the 5G going up to be able to provide ubiquitous internet on every place on the planet. They want to have the internet of things where it needs to be, which is everywhere. Yeah, I have a story, an incident yesterday by Claire Burnish. You know, through our media, through our television, through our video games, through our newscasts, through our reality TV, through our commercials, namely good old Edward Bernays is responsible for some of that marketing. You know, we've been manipulated into doing the desired thing that they've wanted us to do. They've directed our evolution as a culture, and now they are directing our evolution as a species. We read about that not too long ago. Self-directed evolution, they were calling it. Well, they've been conditioning us since the 80s. To embrace technology, I mean, I've talked about that before. My whole youth was about the future, science fiction. I just loved it so much. The promise of the future. And then one day, we realized that we were duped. Not everyone, because a lot of them, a lot of my friends, are still chasing after that dangling carrot. That dangling carrot that was promised. By selling your friends and family, your children and future grandchildren to the machine. Because that's what's happening right now. Complete and utter integration with the machine so they can control and manipulate us to a cellular and a DNA level. But they've been able to condition us to love the machine, right? We love our enslaver. Our enslaver promises us that once robots take over, just like they showed us, and Buck Rogers, his little robot helper friend. You know, it's going to be a beautiful world with white walls and Star Trek medicine, tricorders. And everyone will be able to take their happy pills, and you won't even have to because you'll put in your Google contact lenses that'll realize that you're not medicated enough and just give you a little painless, Johnny. It'll make you feel better. And you'll just sit and postulate all day. They're going to give us universal basic income and really nifty-pifty tiny houses where we could live in dormitory-like environments and share and be collaborative in our 21st century white-walled, drugged-up communities, all to sit around and be philosophical, right? That's what Kurzweil said. We can be artistic and paint and make music and think about the possibilities of uploading and downloading Nana from the Cloud at Christmas time. That's going to be the way of the future. They're going to give us universal basic income. They're going to pay us to do nothing, to sit around and be beautiful, be healthy, connect to the machine, be evaluated, monitored, and medicated. They have sold us 100% to the corporations, the mad science pharmaceutical companies who are looking to find the key to everlasting life, right? All the big tech billionaires are all investing in longevity technologies, stem cell research, CRISPRing, gene banking, gene editing, and even a third of U.S. adults say that they would be enthusiastic about having a microchip implanted in their brain. This is the thing I was talking about, grooming us with science fiction through the 80s, making us want to accept the machine. Over one-third of Americans would not only accept a microchip implant in the brain, but would be, quote-unquote, enthusiastic about receiving the device to, quote-unquote, enhance their thinking power. Now look, that's the second dangling carrot. The first one was curing cancer. Able to get all those genetically modified T-cells and little nanobots into your body. The second one is going to make you smarter than Johnny. And I think that's going to be a biggie. You know, I told you guys already that there's going to come a day when enhanced children will be a requirement if your child wants to compete in the international marketplace. You know, that's going to be something that happens just like getting vaccinations at birth, that they're going to get that little microchip implant, painless, don't worry, using high pressure, right into the hippocampus to extend their thinking power, connect them to the cloud permanently. We had read about that augmented cognition and how it would be not only from birth, but it would be your personal digital assistant in your head. It would be able to record every moment of your life. So when you died, it could upload you to the cloud. It has all of your biochemical readings, real time, 24/7. Could be sending it in to your doctor to make sure you're always healthy, just like a car, so we can be able to diagnose problems before you get sick. Make sure you're working within parameters, and if not, some of that synthetic biotics that we've given you to ingest that are in your intestines can be dispatched real time to release some sort of pre-programmed biopharmacy that we have in desktop manufacturing inside your tummy for new medications. Or we could send our E. coli to go put out the fire of inflammation that you have in your knuckles because, you know, got a little bit of extra acid. We can release some bicarbonate, sodium bicarbonate, and alkalize your body a little bit to bring that acidic level down. All in real time. We just save costs everywhere. And you're now a part of the Internet of Things, Johnny, so don't worry. So it'll just be the next step to be able to get this chip. 24/7 connection, everything will be integrated. You know, right now these are all separate components that are being developed in the lab. But eventually this will all be part of the package as soon as you're born. Anyway, once the subject of dystopian science fiction novels, three emerging technologies serve as a focal point for a new survey to glean the public's willingness to accept what many would call exceedingly invasive biomedical enhancements. Ding, 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 ding. Pew Research Center surveyed 4,726 adults, 47 of whom additionally agreed to participate in focus groups to discern not only how well punitive biomedical advances might be received, but also where the public stands on inherent ethical and moral questions arising from their use. Given previous trepidations and warnings from government whistleblowers, such technology could easily be employed for more than or for less than benevolent purposes. Yeah, and also if you listen to Before the First Cup, I've been worried about this for a long time. Results proved a startling level of both acceptance and eagerness, and I'm going to add brainwashingness to take the chip. I mean, guys, if there ever was a time for being afraid of taking the chip. If there ever was a time, you know, we've read some crazy prophecy out there about the mark of the beast, I would say that we are about at that time. We are being usurped, and we are being rewritten and redesigned in someone else's image from what we originally were. I would think if there ever was a time, it was now. So keep in mind, every one of these technologies, while not yet widely available for elective use, and that's what I said, is not commercialized yet, but it doesn't mean it's not happening behind closed doors, are being actively developed. And though the majority of those surveyed expressed reservations for their youths in otherwise healthy people, a significant number essentially said, sign me up, Johnny. This is pretty twisted. I knew it, though. I mean, I told you guys, they are going to chase that dangling carrot. We've been conditioned to chase the dangling carrot. That is what Western society is all about. Keep up with the Joneses. It's all Bernaysian. Buy, buy, buy. Consume, consume. Because if you don't, you fall off that train, you're a nobody. You don't have an identity anymore. If you don't work, who are you? You don't have the biggest, the newest, the best. You know, you can't compete anymore, and so you're a useless eater then. You know, that's what they want us to believe. Though 69% of respondents claim that they would be worried about an implant known as a neuroprosthesis to improve cognitive abilities, fully 34% said they were enthusiastic about the idea and largely divided along religious lines. Well, hey, at least religion is still some function. And you can see why. Because, you know, tell you what, the religious crazies are the ones that are standing up going, this is the mark of the beast. But I'm telling you guys, I mean, I still think after studying religion across the globe, historically in college, that's kind of what part of my English degree was all about. I was reading creation myths for all the different societies. And they all had a lot of things in common. And that was this one creation. And there was always a downfall of man. And, you know, they're pretty similar. They all had an apocalypse of some kind. But the whole story of the fallen angels and then trying to make the world in their own image and wanting to rebel against the grand creator and make things different because we had such hubris. I mean, even go back to the Greek myths. What was his name with the Icarus with the wings? He thought he could fly too close to the sun and all the wax all melted. Yeah, well, our wax is all drippy. And we got climate change. So we got a problem, Clyde. I mean, I really think that we got some big issues going on here. And regardless of whose religion it is, doesn't matter whose book we're burning, because we all are in the same burning book right now. Anyway, but three biomedical improvements in question. One is a microchip brain implant that was perhaps at least Orwellian, as well as least accepted. As Pew reported, new developments in biochemistry are creating the possibility of using synthetic blood substitutes. And we talked about synthetic blood, sometimes referred to as super blood, to significantly boost people's oxygen levels in the bloodstream. Well, it's going to give you a lot more energy. With synthetic blood substitutes, a higher concentration of oxygen would be carried to the lungs, to the muscles, and through the bloodstream, and could significantly improve an individual's physical speed, strength, and stamina. And I would say probably brain power as well. This, in turn, could allow people to function in extreme conditions or to simply perform everyday tasks with greater ease. Less people, 62%, remain skeptical or distrusting of such a technology than a neuroprosthesis, with a greater number, 37%, who are at least somewhat enthusiastic about its possibilities. Right now, this man-made substitute for blood is being developed for people with some kind of illness or medical condition. Right, step right up, dead, desperate, and dying to be our new guinea pigs for our mad science gone mad. But in the future, they're going to tell us, oh, look at all these diseases that now can be transferred in blood. Mark my words. Right, we've been asking these questions like, all this transmissibility of all these different things. Holy shit, how'd we never know about them for the last 30 or 40 years that we've been getting blood transfusions regularly and probably even longer than that. I mean, I could say World War I even So the 1900s, so 100 plus years, we didn't know about any of these transmissible diseases, one of which being potentially Alzheimer's. So they're going to use that excuse to go, oh, blood's too dangerous now. You're going to need this new type of newfangled blood, you know, then we don't even have to ask for donations anymore, and we're never going to have a shortage synthetic blood. And it'll make you superhuman, exactly what your immune system will need if you're injured. And for a price, if you want to give yourself new capabilities. But in the future, a transfusion with this kind of synthetic blood substitute could be developed for use by healthy individuals, but the biomedical advancement garnering the most enthusiasm would not concern any of the adults surveyed, and it would be performed rather on children. Gene editing to greatly reduce babies' risk for developing various diseases later in life found just under half of the respondents, 49%, at least somewhat enthusiastic about the project. The potential modification of humans and its ramifications have long been debated, but a recent scientific breakthrough in gene editing, oh, most affectionately known as what, Cupid doll, CRISPR, has been raising the urgency of this conversation, said Pew, noting currently such technology isn't used in this manner, but guess what? It's coming. We've looked at that. They're already doing it here in the United States on embryos, only embryos that can live for 7 to 10 days. In a petri dish, but Penn U will be attempting CRISPRing humans in December if they get their last two sets of approval, one from a hospital willing to accept the experiment and the other from the FDA. But in China, don't worry, China's got it up and ready to rock and roll in August, so we'll see the first CRISPRed humans here very soon. And while many Americans say that they would want to use such technology for their own children, I must be one of that other 51% who's not even somewhat enthusiastic about this. There's also considerable wariness when it comes to gene editing, especially among parents of minor children. Yeah, you think? Again, though divided by respondents' religious affiliation, the number of people who would accept what would be considered a modernized, euphemized version of post-birth eugenics is rather jarring. That's what I said. You know, as they start cracking all these codes, and they can identify, you know, give it up, Johnny. Go to 23andMe and spend your $99 and send us your swab, and we will sequence you. And then, for $9.95, you can request each of your different sequences or each of your different sets of diseases that you might be vulnerable to. But don't worry about it, because if you check that little box, you have also given us the rights to use your genetic information to put it into a database and to be able to pull statistics that then we can develop new genetically modifying medications to put into people in general for a certain disorder. You become our line item budget to be able to do our research on, that you didn't even know you were part of a research pool. We will give your information as part of that cohort program established by the White House to the National Institute of Health to be able to help cure disease. But you've also had a dossier made where they put your sequencing into everything they know about you. So eventually your electronic medical health records will be available across the board globally no matter where you are. And eventually they're going to give it to some sort of medical artificial intelligence like they are using at the Sloan Kettering Institute in Cleveland for treating cancer with IBM's Watson. Well, speaking about that, and let's do a little foray into AI because I promise we'd get there. There's a new story, July 27, 2016, titled Seattle Genetics Unveils Sophia. So I told you they're going to start naming all these artificial intelligences now that are supposed to be our happy friends. And they will be our new cancer doctors to start. In the future, they'll be our new overlords and our personal friends in our head. But Sophia has been unveiled, the world's first most advanced collective artificial intelligence for what? Oh, data-driven medicine. Yes. Now, once you're all spliced and diced in that database, now they can have data-driven medicine to cure you. Obama's precision medicine initiative is now coming to life. Sophia Genetics unveils Sophia, the world's most advanced artificial intelligence for data-driven medicine. Sophia continuously learns from thousands of patients' genomic profiles and experts' knowledge to improve their patients' diagnostics and treatments. Sophia's revolutionary technology will shortly be made available to the member hospitals of the Sophia Genetics community. With upcoming new 4.0 version of Sophia DDM platform coming soon, and thanks to Sophia, 170 hospitals are already using this in 28 countries and will immediately benefit from better and faster diagnostics for hundreds of patients every day. Sophia Genetics out of Lausanne, Switzerland, the global leader in data-driven medicine, today unveiled Sophia, the world's most advanced collective artificial intelligence for data-driven medicine, a state-of-the-art technology. It learns from thousands of genetic profiles, and it also revealed results proving how Sophia managed to obtain a 98% match with expert clinicians' variant pathogenesis predictions for BRCA gene mutations, which, you know, that's that cancer gene that causes breast cancer that Angelina Jolie had, that she had her breasts removed for. And let me tell you, I didn't cover this update to that. But, you know, I told you how there was so much of a bunch of shilly put it in everyone's minds about genetics being cool. Give it up to the machine. But I just saw, talk about, like, feeling like a fool if Jolie really did that. Because they now think, since they've targeted that BRCA gene, that they can turn it off. So, I mean, if there ever was a time to line up to the machine, I'd say Angelina Jolie should probably go get that gene turned off. And then get some synthetic stem cell, I don't know, petri dish grown 3D printed. I don't know. It's horrible. But it's just, the whole thing is just horrible. We are a big experiment. I hope if there is anything that I've illustrated to you, we've been sold, bagged and tagged. And we are just now the rat in the cage. And we're locked up. Anyway, so the Sophia is going to be diagnosing not just cancers, but everything else. And then Portland startup Lansome Angel Funding set to introduce Nigel. There's a Nigel coming as well. The story was released on the same day, July 27th, 2016. Portland-based artificial intelligence startup Chimera Systems has secured a round of angel funding that could be the start of something very, very big. That is, the funding could be a precursor to a more capital in the near future, and the company isn't disclosing the amount raised. However, regulatory filings with the SEC show the Chimera sought to raise $458,000, and as of July 7th, $258,000 had been collected. Founder and CEO Monir Shita declined to get into the details of the funding other than to say that it was comprised of private investors and AI like Siri are programmed to solve certain problems, give her a question she can't deal with and she can't respond. But AGI, which is his new system, the idea is that machines have the capability to observe the world, learn from it. Ding, ding. Remember, I told you about these evolving computers they have now and this deep learning, multi-layered AI, supercomputing to the nth degree. Both Google and Microsoft have been working on it. Well, all they need is visual input, which they have with cameras, audio input, which they have with microphones, and some deep learning. And you have an entity that is starting to develop. But yeah, AGI is the idea that machines have the capability to observe the world, learn from it, comprehend it, and then use the knowledge to do things. Oh, remember that new Zenbo robot? Zenbo like Jibo, but Zenbo is going to have this advanced learning inside of it, and it's mobile in your house. Look out, it's coming. I think they're only going to be like $5.99 or something as well. So the price point might be right to have your new little robot buddy, AI buddy, running around at home. Anyway, Shida and his team says that they have built a working version of their AI, and they've called it Nigel. They've created a business model to launch, and it is designed to help device manufacturers and telecom networks benefit from the connectivity that these devices create and connect to. And instead of relying like a middleman like Google or Apple to distribute these apps and services, Chimera wants to give device manufacturers and networks the ability to serve up apps to people based on their needs. So they are going to do AI, advanced learning in the cloud. It sounds like they're talking about just to give them software as a service to be able to deploy it for $9.95 a month for as long as you want it with flexibility and low overhead. So you don't really even need a device. You just pull it down onto your existing device and get the technology. Or even service for the API. You could utilize that API and build it into your application so your application is smart like Nigel. And then sell your application for $29.99 a month to the end user. I told you guys a long time ago about that. Software as a service in the cloud is where the world is. In the future, you don't need any fancy schmancy client upgrades anymore out to 10,000 people. It's all done over the web and served out. So I don't know. Let's see how much time we have left here. We are at, I don't even know. We are at 49 minutes. So we got about 10 minutes left. All right. So we've been talking about artificial intelligence. I've run across a couple stories. Once artificial intelligence takes all of our jobs, they've been saying, you know, this is coming to the forefront. People are starting to realize that jobs are going to be evaporating very quickly. We talked about disruptive technologies quite a number of times, but yesterday it was outlining how there are 10, 15 disruptive technologies all coming at us all at once, which is going to turn the world as we know it today right on its head. And there isn't going to be anything that appears like it does today in the next even 10 years. I would say even maybe the next 5 years. There's going to be some big, big, big changes coming. And when a large number of the global populace happens to be out of a job, they're saying, well, what are we going to do? Well, I'll tell you what they're going to do. They're going to give us this universal basic income. They're already testing it. It's going to be the way that they cure that big global economic crash that they say has been coming for a long time. Don't worry about it. Even though big banking runs off with all the global riches, don't worry about it because we have a new plan. Universal basic income done with biometric ID for identification purposes to be able to get your qubits, and we can do everything on there. You got electronic medical health records now. Don't worry about that. We got your DNA profile. We got your free socialized medicine because it's so cheap right now with AI doctors and desktop manufacturing being able to build little nanobodies and synthetic bacteria that'll be able to cure you at a moment's notice when they start seeing that your numbers are going awry. It's all cheap now. You can be connected to the cloud, so 24/7, anytime you need us, we will be here in your head. You just talk to us. You know, we've already been able to record and play back that little voice in your head. We can see your dreams and your thoughts now, Johnny. So don't go having any type of moments of rage. You know, we have your profile, and you've been infected with that toxoplasmosis. We got drugs for that now. Just push that button on your smart device. We've been able to detect your rage in your voice as you were talking to your sister Sally. And good old Tommy Insel now at Google's Verily Division of Life Sciences, formerly the director of the National Institute of Mental Health. Good thing he's out there now diagnosing mental disease through your voice patterns. Because, you know, we wouldn't have known that you had an anger issue there, Johnny, just a few years before. But hey, you know what? Universal basic income's the way it's at. All you got to do is wave your palm. You know, we're going to have superpowers. You take that little pill that takes care of all your problems, and you'll have access to not only those qubits that we put in your bank account, that new universal global bank account that'll let you buy anything and everything, But it also is your security. You don't have to worry about hackers anymore. It's based upon your brain patterns and your genetic makeup. Just wave your hand in front of your door, in front of your self-driving car. You just think about it. Tesla car, come pick me up. I want to go to the country today. Yeah, that's the way it's going to be. Mark my words, I know it. I see it. If you don't see it, you better see it. Because it is going to be our dystopian future come true. Here is a new concept, universal basic income. And this is an interesting system in which every citizen, regardless of status, receives an unconditional sum of money. And this income is given even if a person doesn't have a job. But will it work is the big question. Well, in the Dutch city of Jorik, they are trying it on. And we saw there's a few others up in Canada as well. And I don't know if they're trying it in the United States, but I know in Canada and here in this Utrecht, they're seeing if it works. And here's the one thing, guys. Remember I told you the one thing I learned from Mr. Feinauer in fifth grade, my social studies teacher, was there is no free lunch. And if you think that they are going to be paying you to just exist, to sit around and be fed grapes by robots, you got another thing coming, because that is not the way it's going to work out. You know what you're being paid for? You are being paid to be a slave. You are being paid to be a guinea pig. You are being paid to be manipulated and controlled with the dangling carrot. You've been conditioned to be lazy. You've been conditioned to be sucked into the machine and to have an 8-second attention span. They got you exactly where they want you now. They're feeding you all of the 7 deadly sins and allowing you to revel in gluttony. You know, remember that wicked witch, Hansel and Gretel, in the woods, feeding them the candy and telling them to go look in the oven? Well, guess what? This universal basic income is the cake in the oven. Don't eat it. It's the poison apple. It is the poison apple, Snow White. And I think that many people are going to be enthusiastic, like Claire said, about taking their arms open and accepting what is coming. Well, anyway, it says universal basic income may be a good way to go. After all, past studies have found that generous welfare benefits encourage people to work. Well, I don't know if that's worked out for a lot of communities out there, but hey, wait, what's more? It will allow people who do enjoy giving back to do so, and also allow those who would not otherwise have the means to work on passion projects to pursue them. So yes, eat grapes and do art, write stories, and think about wonderful things. This, of course, could lead to new wondrous innovations, better social programs, and more. So let's just keep printing it. Doesn't matter anyway. All the money is digital. Keep giving it away and see what happens. But hey, before we get out of ourselves, the city, Utrecht, has teamed up with the University College in Utrecht to observe and study the data that they receive from this experiment. Yes, it's all an experiment. And Victor Everhart, Utrecht's alderman for work and income, explained in a statement that the city experiment will have some conditions, of course. One group will have compensation and consideration for an allowance. Another group will have basic income without rules. And, of course, there will be a control group which adheres to the current rules. Our data shows that less than 1.5% abuse the welfare. But before we get into all kinds of principled debate about whether or not we should or should not enter, we need to first examine if basic income really works. And it'll be interesting to see what kind of developments are made over the course of the study. Eberhardt can only speculate. What happens if someone gets a monthly amount without rules and controls? Will someone sit passively at home, or do people develop themselves and provide a meaningful contribution to our society? The president of Iceland explains the secret to Nordic countries' recent economic and social success, and he says that social welfare programs such as free access to education and health care have proved to be a boon to the free market economy. So they are going to see what happens. Will be interesting to see. But don't worry about it, because you will need your universal basic income when the robots take all the jobs. We only got about a minute and a half left, so let's close with this story. Scientists are now teaching robots how to hunt down prey. So not only will you not have jobs as a journalist or a lawyer, what do we find out his name was? Clyde, something like that. The new first hired robot lawyer. We won't have to have all kinds of different things. We won't have to have drivers or taxis or Ubers or whatever. Scientists are teaching robots how to hunt down prey, and I bet you it looks something like a cheetah robot out of DARPA. Intelligent robots are all well and good until they start learning how to hunt prey, and that is exactly what we don't need. But the scientists at the Institute of Neuroinformatics at the University of Zurich in Switzerland did. See, look at what happens when you give those people free basic education and innovation. They create robots who like to hunt. Hopefully they don't like to hunt humans. They taught a robot to behave like a predator and hunt prey. Or a robot controlled by a human using specific software to aid that robot to mark its target and pounce. I believe actually the story was given to me by Lady Pitbull. So thank you, Lady Pitbull. Shout out. Hope you're doing well. Happy Friday. Anyway, the applications of these lessons for the predator robot are a lot less terrifying than thinking robots are about to start hunting the human race. Ding, ding. It is about creating software that could potentially allow robots to do both and to take a look at their environments and then discern a target in real time. Yes, using 230-point facial recognition in HD. I mean, guys, this is what I've always feared, and Jesus Christ, they're doing it in Switzerland. Oh, my God. It's a wild world out there, they say, and no doubt robots are going to be a huge part of it going forward. Yes, and just eat your grapes with your universal basic income until Atlas comes knocking at your door. Don't be surprised when you start seeing them as a talking point with newer operations just like these in the future. All right, guys, make sure you stick around. All kinds of great radio. And I will catch up with you on Monday. Hey, everybody, take care.